It might be to some people virtual reality. You've heard of that, right? So, like virtual reality, you can pay for, you can go somewhere and develop and have your own religion. But Islam is not like that. No, it's not like that. Islam is a law. Islam is a system. Islam is a legislation. Islam is a regulation. And therefore, it has dimensions by which you can determine and identify it. Now, a Muslim is an individual who makes the profession that they belong to or they are attached to that system. Do you judge a system by the people who say that they are a part of it? No, you don't. And that's why they have what they call disclosures. So that if somebody works for my company and they do something wrong, my company will not be liable. Is that correct? Because I've already made a disclosure that this person does not necessarily represent our company in policy or so forth and so on. I've made a disclosure of that. Well, God has also made a disclosure that the human beings themselves, God is not indicted, and God is not imperfect, and God does not die, and God does not have the limitations, and God doesn't make mistakes, and God is not immoral, and God is not prejudiced. But some Muslims are. So we don't judge or indict a system of life by the people who claim to be that. We would not indict Jesus Christ by what Jim Jones did some years ago. We would not indict Jesus Christ by what Jeffrey Dahmer did. We would not indict Jesus Christ by what Charles Manson did. We would not indict Jesus Christ by the Oklahoma bomber. What was his name? Timothy McVeigh. Was he a Christian fundamentalist? We would not indict him. We would not call any of those people Christian fanatics, Christian terrorists. We would not say that the IRA in Ireland, that they are Christian fanatics. We don't say that. So how do we say Muslim fanatics, Islamic fundamentalists, Islamic terrorists? How do we indict a global faith of more than 1,500 years with a legislation, with principles, with dignity, with a record? How do we indict that entire faith and all the people who's with that faith and put them in some kind of classification and put on them an oxymoron? You know what that is, don't you? An oxymoron is a word that means just the opposite of what you put next to it. Islamic terrorist, Islamic fanatic. Those are oxymorons. A person cannot be Islamic by definition if they are fanatic. They cannot be. Because Islam is a system of peace, a system of submission and surrender to God, a system of dignity. Now, if somebody who's a Muslim doesn't act that way, if a Muslim acts as a criminal way, what are they? They're a Muslim criminal, is that correct? If a Christian doesn't act the way Jesus Christ spoke, how he lived, and his message, if a Christian commits a crime, what are they? A Christian criminal. A Jewish person commits a crime, what are they? A Jewish criminal. A Buddhist, a Hindu, or anyone else that commits a crime, they are what? Criminals. But you don't indict the faith because of the criminal, do you? If that were the case, America, Great Britain, France, Germany, all the so-called advanced nations, they got more criminals wearing suits than all the criminals that are in jail. They would all be criminal governments. Now, we hear the terms Islam and Muslims quite often, and we read about Islam and Muslims in the periodicals, textbooks of colleges and universities. We hear and we see a lot of inaccurate, misleading, and purposeful misinformation through the media, and we have to admit that some of this misinformation, some of this misrepresentation, and some of this distortion has been perpetuated by Muslims themselves. We have to admit that. That is true to a certain extent. Yet, one out of every five people in this world is a Muslim. There are more than 1.4 billion Muslims in the world. We don't say 1.4 billion Arabs, Asians, Africans. We didn't say that because you cannot find any country in the world. And even if you discover a new country, there'll be some Muslims there. White, black, green, yellow, tall, short, male, female, poor, rich, of every ethnicity. The Muslim nation, the Muslim brotherhood is a global brotherhood, a global nation, and Muslims are everywhere in the world. One out of every five people in this world is a Muslim. Just like one out of every five people in this world is a Chinese. And nearly one out of every five people in this world is from the Indian continent. These are statistics that we can support. Go to your computer, do a search. Go to the encyclopedia and do a search. Go to the almanac and do a search, and you will verify this statistic. And you know everything about India. And you know everything about China. But I ask you the question, why don't you know something about Islam? You know the language of China. You know the language of India. You know the constitution. Everything can be found. People talk. You eat Chinese food. You eat Indian food. But I ask you, what do you really know about Islam? What do you know about the social, the economic, the political, the historical factors about Islam? Why don't you know about Islam? What is it that joins over 37 nations together into a brotherhood, a configuration, a common fraternity? What makes a brother in Saudi Arabia my brother, and I'm from America? And what makes my brother from Pakistan my brother? And what makes an Australian my brother, a French Muslim, a German Muslim, a Scandinavian Muslim, an English Muslim, an Indonesian Muslim? What makes them my brother? We're not the same color. We don't have the same culture. We don't speak the same language. What makes us brothers is our bond of faith. It is Islam that makes us brothers. What are the accurate characteristics of this misunderstood way of life that is followed by the greater part of humanity? I'll try to provide you with some facts. But in addition to this, as I mentioned to you before, it is necessary for you to be open-minded and open-hearted. Otherwise, you're going to miss what I tell you, because you're going to turn that glass upside down. The word Islam means surrender, submission, and obedience. Surrender, submission, and obedience to whom? The creator of the heavens and the earth. You can say Allah, or you can say the creator. You can say the source of creation. You can say the principle behind existence, you can say. All those attributes belong to the Creator. The all-wise, the all-knowing, the absolute, the eternal, the one upon whom all depends, while the Creator depends upon none. We say Allah, Allah, because in the Arabic language this is a very clear nomenclature. So you see, if I said God, if I spell it backwards, what is it? See? And that's why some people might even take a dog as God. I mean, after all, if a dog is a man's best friend, he could become his God. We say Allah. And this is not a God of the Muslims. Allah comes from the article, A-L, meaning the. Meaning only, meaning particular, meaning distinct, A-L, Al. And Allah means that which is worshipped, that which is adored, that which is obeyed, that which is inclined to, that which is submitted to. So when we say Allah, it means the only one worthy of worship, recognition, and praise, Allah. We say Allah because in the Arabic word, this means uniqueness and without gender. So from this point, I'm going to use the word Allah. And you know that I'm not speaking of the Muslim God. I'm speaking of the creator of the heavens and earth, your Lord and my Lord. The same God of Moses and Abraham and Jacob and the tribes and John the Baptist and Jesus Christ and the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessing be upon him. The same God. And none of them use the word God in the Hebrew language or the Aramaic language or the Arabic language. The word Ilah or Allah is the only word they ever used, because it is a very clear, distinct name. It has never been used for any tangible thing, nor even an idea. The word Islam is derived from the word Salama. Salama means to be at peace. It also means safety. It also means security. Therefore, a Muslim is a person that surrenders to whom? Allah. A Muslim is a person that submits and obeys the law of whom? Allah, Almighty God. And through this submission obtains peace for themselves. You see, the formula is very simple. When I surrender to the law, when I conform to the law and the legislation which is intended for me, that means that is my natural disposition. Therefore, I become what? A conformist. I am in order. I am in harmony. And by being in order and harmony, the things I'm supposed to receive comes to me. So it's natural to be a Muslim. It's unnatural not to be. We can immediately see by that definition that all the prophets of Almighty God were what? Muslims. Because even Almighty God said in the revelation that we recited before from the surah which is called Al-Bayyinah, Fadlu Habibi.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وما أمروا إلا ليعبدوا الله مخلصين له الدين حنفاء ويقيموا الصلاة ويؤتوا الزكاة وذلك دين القيمة.
This verse from the Quran says, وما أمروا إلا ليعبدوا الله مخلصين له الدين حنفاء أو يقيموا الصلاة ويؤتوا الزكاة وذلك دين القيمة. The verse is very clear. It says, and they, the human beings, the prophets of Almighty God, they were not ordered to do anything except to worship, to recognize, to obey their Lord, and to be mukhlis. Mukhlis means to be sincere towards God, to be clean, to be moral, towards the legislation that He ordered them. What legislation did God order them? Every prophet that came to every people, he came with a book, he came with a message, he came with a behavior, he came pleading with the people, telling them, do not worship idols, do not worship other deities, do not be pagans, don't associate partners with God, do not disobey your Creator, do not ignore your Creator, be decent, be upright, be moral, be kind, be gentle. وَمَا أُمِنُوا إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُوا اللَّهَ مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ هُنَفَى هُنَفَى. It means to be Hanif. Hanif means being straight with God, not allowing any interference between you and God, no partners, no associates, holding your relationship with God sacred, and therefore what God has ordered you to do, to put that order before every other order. This is called Hanifa. And to establish prayer, because after all, what can we do for God? What can we do for the one that created us? What can we do? If your mother and father gave birth to you, taught you all what your mother did for you while you were young, staying up at night while she suffered with you, through school, through college, and after you finish, they become old and you put them inside of a old age home, a retirement home, shame on you. What can you do for your parents after they did all of that for you? What can you do for them? Nothing. Then what can we do for God? Nothing. Except to worship Him, to acknowledge Him, to conform to his law. أَوَ يُقِيمُ الصَّلَاةَ